Every couple of weeks, we're lucky to be joined by nutritional consultant from London, Ontario, Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent, and I thought of you first thing yesterday when I read in the Globe and Mail, the food pyramid may be eroding, something you have railed against for a long time. You're just one woman yelling into the wilderness, it seems, but now a growing body of research from evolution experts, anthropologists, nutrition specialists say that, we got to rethink this food pyramid. This is not the way we should be educating the public on how to eat. What did you think about when you read the article?
Well, my first thought was that the article still doesn't give people what they need in terms of knowing what to do to eat properly.
Okay.
The article itself is still extremely vague, extremely confusing. I like their bottom line message is that we have to reevaluate the food guide, but the messages within the article are still very, very confusing. And so I think what one of the main messages I like to instill among my students is that we really shouldn't be over-intellectualizing diet, that it shouldn't be this confusing, Tom. And unfortunately, a lot of interests that are out there make it very, very confusing. Some people scratch their heads in the morning and they say, oh, but I thought eggs were bad for me. Oh, I thought bacon was bad for me. Look at all the claims on this box cereal that say it's so healthy for me. You know, there's so much conflicting information. But our ancestors, who were much, much healthier than we are, they didn't have this phenomenon. They knew what to eat just through wisdom, and that's what's missing, the wisdom of healthy eating. And so that's part of the reason why I do the work that I do, is because I want people to be able to feel empowered over their food choices just by knowing more about actually food history than anything, because that's where we're going to learn the most.
What I found was an interesting quote, though. I love David Ludwig as a professor of nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health. And he pointed out, you know, by just reducing fats, that has backfired on us. And you've pointed that out. I mean, we've reduced the amount of fat we've consumed since the mid-70s, since we became butter and meat phobic, and our obesity rates have gone up. Because right. We've replaced fats with sugar, or basically simple carbs. And he says, you can have a bowl of cornflakes with no extra sugar added, or a bowl of sugar with no extra cornflakes. It's exactly the same thing.
That's right. Sugar is sugar is sugar. And so when I say to people, you know, don't over-exaggerate the amount of carbohydrates in your diet, is because of that reason, because sugar is sugar is sugar. We can have some carbohydrates in our diet, Tom, but we don't want to overdo it. And if people say, well, what are carbohydrates? I'm really referring to things like grains and even fruits and vegetables, because fruits and vegetables contain carbs, and you can overdo it in that domain. I'm not saying all fruits and vegetables are bad. I just think that we overdo it in some cases today, especially among vegetarians and vegans. I mean, they're taking this mantra, eat your fruits and vegetables. You know, they're taking it a little bit too literally, and unfortunately, they make themselves very, very sick by over-consuming fruits and vegetables. But people following the food guide can do the same thing. If you remember the pyramid, Tom, and a lot of people are basing the food guide on that pyramid because that's what's more or less etched in our brains. But if you look at the food pyramid from history, you'll see the base of that pyramid is carbohydrates. It's fruits and vegetables on top of grain. So it's, you know, 6 to 11 serves of...
That's what we should be consuming the most of, according to the food pyramid.
Right, and that's what we've been doing religiously now for decades, and it's making us sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before, because these foods are displacing the more nutrient-dense, stabilizing animal foods. The food pyramid itself is upside down. It should be the base of the pyramid should be meat and poultry and lamb and, you know, all of those nutrient-dense foods. That's what should be in the base and should have been in the base of the pyramid the entire time since the invention of the pyramid.
What's interesting as well is that they come up with a compromise. They say, well, you know, maybe not food pyramid, but maybe we should look at the glycemic index, that a low glycemic index. But one of the things they don't say is this. They talk about we eat too many carbohydrates, as you call them, carbivores. We are too dependent on grain products, whether it's cereal or pasta or sugar or whatever. It doesn't matter. We eat too many carbs. One of the professors says, yeah, but we also, there are potential health issues that may arise on a diet that's rich in protein. Ah, okay, so you can't have too much protein, that no one should base a diet on 60% protein, you know, because it's like, right, but that means they don't talk about what you always focus on. It's like, so what's left? What can I eat? Fat? Hello, you can eat fat.
Yeah, but we evolved on animal fat.
I know.
We've always pretty much gotten about 70% of our calories from animal fat. And keep in mind that protein itself doesn't have a lot of calories, right? It's the fat where the nutrient density occurs. That's what you want for your brain, your hormones, you know, your immune system. You need the animal fat. We never ate lean meat. If we had, we knew it made us sick, you see? So there you have this notion where protein is a good thing. Well, you really need the fat in conjunction with the protein so that you can be healthy. You know, when I talk to bodybuilders, for example, who are focusing on a high protein diet because they're fat phobic, you know, because they want to be so lean for their competitions, right? You wouldn't believe the amount of problems I see with mood disorders among that field of athleticism. So they're eating way too much protein and not enough animal fat. So they're going to run into trouble.
Yeah, and but it's just so funny that it's like, okay, yeah, the food, they just never want to mention, you can't say fat. You can't ever concede that, you know what, maybe fat isn't so bad for us.
Never has been.
Yeah.
Never did join the dark side.
But
yeah.
the nutritionists can't admit it yet. They're like, nope, we can't say it yet. We don't want you to rush out and have yourself some fat.
That's, well, you know the expression, Tom, you know, progress can only happen one retirement at a time.
I've never heard that. That's pretty good.
Actually, it's supposed to be one death at a time, but I'm trying to be politically correct here.
You're trying to be polite about it.
So until our professors, our nutritionists, the politicians, until they retire or die off, then we might see the truth happen, because they're not going to eat crow. They're not going to look incompetent, right? So they don't want that. They need to hold on to the lie. It's called cognitive dissonance in the field of psychology, because they're going to be embarrassed to admit that they've been wrong all these decades, right?
So, well, I mean, we've talked about it, in subjects. I mean, look at Dr. Oz. I mean, you've staked a professional reputation on this. You can't admit you're wrong. Look at Dr. Drew Pinsky and, you know, the Minnie McCready thing blowing up in his face. You've staked a professional reputation on being this expert and guru. You can't possibly accept that you're wrong. Same with every expert. It's like, no. I can't be wrong. They won't believe that they're not right.
Well, and, you know, people need to start eating crow. We're putting their backs to the wall for those of us who figured this formula out, you know. They can't keep holding on to the lie. I remember interviewing Dr. William Davis from Wheat Belly, and he started to say, I know when I'm on air with Andy, he talks pretty quickly, and he just started to say something to the effect of, you know, they only have 6 more months to hold on. And I think what he was saying is that, you know, really we're only going to be able to hold on to this lie, this low-fat lie, for so many more months. It's just a matter of time, Tom, before somebody high up has to eat crow over this issue. When you see an article like this where there's just little teasers, you know, I still say they're nervous, they're afraid, you know, they're embarrassed, but eventually somebody has to step forward who is brave enough at Health Canada to be able to say, you know, that this is the way we should be eating. We should be eating 70% of our calories from animal fat, 20% from protein, and only 10% from carbs. And that's really essentially how we evolved. Before World War II, that's how we ate. That's how the medical schools taught us to eat. And it was after World War II where things turned upside down.
What I would find interesting, and maybe I'll get your comments on this, but we'll talk about some diets when we come back, not losing weight diets, but how to eat properly. When we think about the diabetes epidemic in Canada, and the population it hits the hardest seems to be our native population. But has there ever been a population whose food choices have been turned so upside down? Has there ever been, I mean, when you think about, you know,
Pima, you know, Gary Taubes talks about this in his book, the Pima Indians down in sort of Arizona area in the United States.
Well, look at our own native population and how problematic and the health concerns we have on reserves, but look at their diet. They're not eating a traditional diet at all. They're not even close to what their traditional diet was.
No.
And that's their body. I mean, you can't change in a couple hundred years and expect the body to have kept up. Look, it doesn't work with us, and we've had agriculture for 10,000 years.
Yeah, but even when we had agriculture, we still would have revered animal fat. We didn't have animal fat phobia. So even though the degradation of our food supply did start occurring 10,000 years ago, the biggest assault really to our food supply happened over the last 100 years, even 50 years.
Pam Killeen is our guest nutritional consultant. Quick break in the program. Come back and talk to her a little more here on 610 CKTV.
I'm your dream, make you real. I'm your eyes when you are still. I'm your pain when you can't feel. Sad but true.
The news of the day.
Justice Minister and Niagara Falls MP Rob Nicholson told a Toronto news conference that he'll be introducing comprehensive legislation later this year to crack down on criminals who make children their victims.
Every day.
Crimes against children, child pornography is going up, serious drug crimes are increasing in Canada. And so I always say to people that, I mean, the abuse of one child is one child too many.
News Talk 610, CKTV.
It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you pay $1,500 a month or more renting space for your business when you can own your business space for about the same money? Palladium Business Center is Niagara's first and only business condominium that solves this problem. Located in the heart of Niagara, it's a brand new state-of-the-art facility close to everything. Palladium Business Center. To find out more on how you can own your business space, log on to condoniagara.ca today. That's condoniagara.ca.
Just once, I'd like to get what I want. I wanted to get a tan, so I went to Florida. I guess I should have went outside.
Want to smack the flurries out of winter? At your Ontario Toyota dealers, get a 2013 Corolla for 0% purchase financing for 72 months with zero down and 104 bi-weekly with customer incentive applied. Drive home a deal at your Ontario Toyota dealers. Real people, great cars. Check realtoyota.ca for details.
I want me one of those.
And I want it now.
Solutions to life's problems, one caller at a time. Dr. Joy Brown, weeknights at 7 on News Talk 610 CKTV.
Here's a look at your weather forecast. We'll see some more flurries today. High of minus 5, more flurries possible tonight, low down to minus 12. On Thursday, flurries will end later in the afternoon. Another 2 centimeters is expected, high of minus 6. Friday, cloudy. Chance of flurries again, but a high of plus 1. Right now in downtown St. Catharines, light snows in the region. It's minus 5 degrees, and with the wind chill, feels like minus 14.
Arthur Boulanger Insurance has served Niagara for over 35 years. And as they transition towards 2020 insurance, they'll still maintain all the efficiency and great customer service they're known for. Like talking to a live person when you call. No voicemail during office hours. And when you contact them through the website, they'll respond within 24 hours. 2 locations in St. Catharines and Welland. So it's the same, but better. Arthur Boulanger Insurance, a division of 2020 Insurance. ArthurBoulanger.com.
Hungry for something different at lunch? Variety's on the menu at the CKTV Lunch and Dinner Club. Take a break today at one of these fabulous restaurants. Your table is waiting.
The Lazy Loon Restaurant, Niagara's everyday getaway. Outstanding food, friendly service, and a cottage-like atmosphere. Experience great taste at the Lazy Loon Restaurant. Highway 20 in Font Hill, next to the log cabin. LazyLoon.on.ca. Dom's Downtown Pasta and Grill. Family-friendly service. Monday and Tuesday, all-you-can-eat pasta special. Half-price chicken and ribs Wednesday. Fish fry Friday. And the almost world-famous 60-item Sunday buffet. Dom's Downtown. King & Academy, St. Catharines. 905-688-4202.
Milestones Niagara Falls. Inspired food created by inspired people. Celebrate your life's milestones, big or small, with food created for your life's milestones with a spectacular view of the falls. Milestones. Inside the Marriott Gateway on the Falls. Fallsview Boulevard, Niagara Falls.
Check out the Lunch and Dinner Club at 610cktv.com.
Wellspring Niagara wants you to put one on for the ones you love. Toupee for a Day, an all-inclusive and fun event bringing support and awareness to all those living with cancer in Niagara. It's easy. Register alone or as a team online at toupeeforaday.com/Niagara. Create your fundraising page and collect pledges. Then on March 6, wear your colorful Wellspring toupee for a day. For details, log on to toupeeforaday.com/Niagara. Sponsored by 610 CKTV.
Listening to Tom McConnell on News Talk 610 CKTV and online at 610cktv.com. Call Tom McConnell now at 905-688-CKTV, 1-877-610-CKTV, or #610 on the Bell Mobility Network.
22 minutes after 11 o'clock, Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us from London. The food pyramid starting to erode, Pam. Food pyramid is just slowly starting to erode. But I got a question here from Melody for Pam. Doc's admitting that they have been wrong. How does Dr. Oz measure up? Is he generally on track?
No, he's not on track. In fact, he's one of the biggest contributing problems that we have here in North America because he's so pro-high-carb, low-fat. So as soon as he turns that message around, we're going to be able to be healthy here in North America because he has so much control and power due to his show. He's flat-out been wrong for, you know, since the beginning of his show. And he's had guests on his show to try and reason with him, people like Gary Taubes and Dr. Bill Davis, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, Johnny Bowden. You know, all of these people have been on his show trying to knock some sense into him. Fortunately, he has let them come on the show and talk about the fact that we should be eating more animal fat in our diet and not less. But it's still not enough for him to change his stance. And so his prevailing message is to eat lots of plant-based foods and lower amounts of animal foods. And that's obviously not healthy.
Now, you sent me an interesting link to the Weston A. Price Foundation and the board of directors there. They had now it's a little old. It's from a number of years ago, but they had a food journal, if you will, and they wrote down everything they ate, because when people are like, oh, how much fat should I eat? Well, that much. It seems to be excessive, but then when you start adding it up, it seems what they eat is rather reasonable, isn't it?
It's absolutely reasonable. It's recognizable. You don't have to be Martha Stewart to eat healthy. You know, it's a very familiar food plan that they are all each individually outlining. It's nothing scary. What happened is, of course, the foods that they're eating have been made into be scary by our governments. Since we have been paying attention to the food guide, since the government has been putting out nutritional advice, you know, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before in the history of mankind. So I don't know if I've told this story on your show before, Tom, but a friend of mine, Dr. Louise Light, who used to work for the food for the USDA, sadly, she passed away a few years ago, but she wrote a book called What to Eat, and she was very vocal as a whistleblower for the USDA, and this was after she would have left the USDA. But she talked about her experiences developing the 1992 food pyramid. She was on that team of people developing that food pyramid, and so when they went to the Secretary of Agriculture at the time, they went in saying 3 to 5 servings of carbs, very, you know, relatively low compared to what was published. And when the Secretary of Agriculture returned the proposal to the staff, he said, no, 6 to 11 servings of carbs. And the staff said to the Secretary of Agriculture at the time, including Louise, she said, you know, you can't do this in all good conscience. First of all, there's no science to support this. And number two, if you publish this 1992 food pyramid like this, then you're going to create a diabetes and obesity epidemic. So the Secretary of Agriculture disregarded his own staff and went with what the lobbyists wanted. And that's essentially why we've been seeing more and more diabetes, obesity over the last several decades, because the government is caving to lobbyists. They're not listening to reason or common sense.
And the lobbyists would represent, for instance, the grain farmers. Or the grain processor, the grain industry, I guess. Maybe not the farmers, but the companies who are looking to sell bread and pasta and you know, cereal and stuff. Would that be, is that who the lobbyists are?
Okay. These are highly profitable foods, right? Plant-based foods are easier to grow, easier to ship, have better shelf life, and are more profitable than animal foods. So what we've seen essentially is, over the last 100 years, is more and more and more of these easier to produce, more profitable animal plant foods displacing more animal foods in the diet. So make no mistake, folks, we have been reducing our consumption of red meat, eggs, butter, lard, tallow. We have been reducing our consumption of animal foods over the last century. And this has not been for the betterment of our health.
Pam, always a pleasure, always an education, and glad to see that slowly but surely some progress is getting made in terms of society eating healthier.
Oh, absolutely. I have a whole bunch of classes coming up as well.
Oh,
so if people want to visit my website, just go to my upcoming events page. I have classes tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday. I have several classes programmed for this coming spring as well. So,
okay, PamKaleen.com. Mm-hmm. Is your webpage. And if people want to send you a note, your email address, PamKaleen@gmail.com?
That's one, or Pam@PamKaleen.com is fine as well.
Okay, but all the information is on your website, PamKaleen, KILLEEN.com.
That's right. Thanks so much, Tom.
Take care, Pam. Always
Take
a pleasure.
Care. Okay, bye.